Shrug family, this is Anders Varner. We're back, another awesome week of Barbell Shrugged. This week we're hanging out with Alex Macklin. What a gangster that guy is. There's like a little rite of passage that comes with being the host of Barbell Shrugged. You got to meet all the people, and Alex is one of those guys that has just been a huge piece of the Barbell Shrugged story. There's so much love for the dude out there that I was just really excited to meet him, interview him. And turns out, what an amazing dude. We hung out with him here in San Diego, as well as down in Austin at Paleo FX. And it makes so much sense why everybody in the Barbell Shrugged family just loves the guy. And every time his picture is up on Instagram, there's always just so many cool comments about Alex. Thought he was an awesome guy. Thought it was an awesome interview. And just more importantly, like another piece of the Barbell Shrugged story that I am now a piece of, and just really cool to kind of see like all the pieces, all the lineage, and everyone that is a piece of this big family of ours. Had somebody last week ask me the most terrifying question in all of strength and conditioning, which is, Anders, what does your training program look like? The reason this is the most terrifying question in the world to me is because I'm supposed to be a professional that's able to give a very clear answer to exactly what I do in the gym and for training. And the truth is that it couldn't be more of a scattered mess if I were to try to explain it to people. I train every single day, but that doesn't mean that I'm in there trying to PR my clean and jerk and my back squat 7 days a week. It's a very spread out thing. And when I try to start explaining it to people, I feel like I am explaining this gigantic puzzle to somebody that makes so much sense in my head, yet it's very challenging because there's 20 years of training and knowledge and coaching and education that I take for granted a lot of the times. And when I start speaking about what I do in the gym, I believe that it goes over people's heads so much because I don't operate off of a program. I don't operate off of, you know, sets and reps. I very rarely ever have a plan when I go into the gym. In fact, I never actually have a plan. There's no program that I follow. But I have a list of things that I need to do each week that I believe keep me healthy and moving in the direction that I would like to do. There's only really three main goals that I have in my life as far as strength and conditioning go, or just general health as you could call it, like my goals are not short term. One of those goals is I would like to live till I'm 120 years old. Like, I'm really dedicated to that. And I feel like I have built an education and a knowledge base that will allow me to live a very healthy life. And if I can do cool things past 100 years old, I think 120 is doable, and I'm really stoked on it. I'd also really love to squat 315 pounds when I'm 80. I don't even know if that's possible, but I feel like if I do it every week, and it's not that hard, why couldn't I do it when I'm 80? Like, I'll just never let my body think that that isn't something that it has to do. And this is coming from somebody that's 35 and probably completely naive to what happens when you're 80. But I just believe that I should be able to have a pretty good squat when I'm 80 years old. And if 315 just remains on my back, my body will always be adapting to that number. I'd like to squat 315 when I'm 80. And then just as a general rule, like, I want to be pain-free. And I don't want to have to deal with nagging injuries. I've lived that life and it sucks. And I just never want to be a part of it ever again. So when I talk about my training program, you have to know it's 7 days a week. 1 to 2 days a week, I'm running. Usually that's 1 5 to 6 mile long trail run, or it's hill sprints up the nastiest, grossest, meanest hill you've ever seen in your life. And those are kind of like my conditioning pieces. There's going to be a day of CrossFit in which I consider that to be like a weightlifting day. And then 2 to 3 other days of just weightlifting, more on the bodybuilding side, and just, I like to call it just kind of like structural integrity and just making sure all the muscles are turned on, making sure I'm doing all the proper shoulder things, hip things, core things, just to make sure that everything is moving right. The other days I spend a lot of time doing just down regulation. So like yin yoga class, maybe hit a hot yoga class, just a lot of things that are very movement based, yet they are not the beat down that goes on in the gym. But I was watching a Netflix documentary called, it was about the chefs. I can't remember it now. And now I'm drawing a blank in the middle of this awesome monologue, but Chef's Table. And Christina Tosi, they interview her and they're watching her walk through a grocery store. And a light bulb kind of went off of like, man, that's a lot what it looks like when I walk into a gym. Like if I was a chef and walked into a grocery store, there's zillions of options. When I walk into a gym, there's zillions of options from barbells to kettlebells to sleds to dumbbells to weird stuff that's not in every gym but is at the gym that I train at because it's a weird powerlifting gym and they have a bunch of grip strength stuff. And man, there's so many options. And I never know what implements I'm going to use. And I never know the reps or the sets or the pieces that are actually going to comprise of what I'm doing. But every single time I go in there, I end up doing horizontal pulling and horizontal pushing. I do a lot of vertical pulling and a lot of vertical pushing. I do a lot of squatting and I do a lot of hinging. But whether I do all that stuff on one leg or two, or with one arm or two, or if I'm pulling a sled or pushing a sled, or if I'm carrying things with one arm or carrying things with two, the majority of the time, that's not just changing from workout to workout, but it's changing from set to set. And I may just pick up a 53-pound kettlebell and do a 5-minute kettlebell flow right into some, you know, single arm shoulder press. And then the next set is going to be a single arm shoulder press, but bottoms up. And then I may do it from a knee. And all these things are going to come into vertical pressing, but every single time it's different. And if I was following a program and was relegated to, I need to be at 70% of my press and I need to be doing it for 3 sets of 5 and I need to have 2 minutes of rest in between each, that would be terrible for me. I've done that so long that I have to have flexibility in my training and I have to have the ability to just kind of go feel out where my body's at. And the truth is, what makes it so hard for me to answer that question is everything I do in the gym is based off feel. I very rarely lift heavy weights, but I can always go lift heavy if you want it. I very rarely am maxing out sprints or running a half marathon or doing these things at like maximum intensity because at any point in time I could. I just realized that I have a choice that I can make of really treating my body the way it should be treated and like acknowledging that my life is stressful and that I have a lot of things going on and that health and being pain-free is the primary function of me going to the gym. Knowing that I'm going to be strong, knowing that I can be fast, I can do all these things if I need to, but in the long-term plan, if I want to live to 120, I can't PR my clean every 2 months. It doesn't make sense, but it doesn't mean I can't clean 300 whenever you want me to. And that's a really important thing I think that everyone should look at in their journey is you need to be on programs. You need to learn how to do these things so that training becomes a language to you and a feeling to you versus something that's written on paper. There's nothing wrong with being on programs. It's just you need to use those programs to create feelings and create emotions and create stories around the weights and the rep schemes and the movements so that later on in your training, in order to keep it fun, you still know what to look for, what to expect, what to feel, so that it can still be fun and you don't have to move perfectly. You can add a little sloppiness to it because you've done things well for so long that now you get to go and explore movement and do things different. And that's really what's so tough to me is I might not have the perfect recipe when I walk into the gym, but every single day when I leave, no matter what ingredients I decided to grab, I'm always going to come out with a really, really awesome recipe for health, longevity, strength, conditioning, and general wellness. And that's my goal. And for those people that don't have that feeling, I highly recommend you getting into the program vault. Please get over to shrugcollective.com/vault. There's 11 programs in there. They're written by incredibly smart coaches. They're written in a manner that progresses you from where you are today to where you would like to go, whether it's getting your first pull-up, getting strongman into your routine, long-term programs for CrossFit, mass gain. If you don't know how to eat, you need to be a part of those. Olympic weightlifting with Flight Weightlifting. There are programs in there to teach you about mobility and stability. All of these things that go into creating an emotional feel to go along with your training so that you can be on a program that allows you to meet your goals, but there's also an education system along with it. So you learn how to move well, you learn how to feel movements, you learn how to structure this stuff in your own life so that you don't have to be on a program forever. In fact, you're creating a system where you're telling stories through movement and you're learning all about the intricacies of how to write a program for yourself by learning what others are doing that have been there and are really, really smart at it. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the Shred Collective Program Vault. The amount of knowledge and the programming that's in there is just so top notch, and you need to be a part of it. If you don't have the ability to just go into the gym and figure it out on the fly and write something off the top of your head that's just really well put together and touches all the bases, go to shrugcollective.com/vault, get into the programs. They are written by really smart people. You are going to achieve your goals. You're going to do it in a very healthy manner. And it's very important that you're able to get in there and to go do these programs. They're going to make you better and they're going to help you learn about strength and conditioning in a very practical manner. I want to thank our friends over at Onnit. Love Onnit. I've been sleeping so freaking well lately. The melatonin kicks ass. And then I wake up and I go get me some Alpha Brain. My day, I'm buzzing just like this. You hear me? I love strength conditioning. I want you to go into the program vault and get signed up because you're going to learn how to do awesome weightlifting. And you're going to learn how to structure things in your brain. Go there. But the way that I get so excited about all this stuff is because Alpha Brain's gangster. I wake up, I take it in the morning. My day is just, I'm humming perfectly. Brain cognition, I stay attentive. I'm able to get like a strong 6 hours straight in. All I need is one little break to go outside, get some of that SoCal sun on me, and I'm good to go. Melatonin at night, sleep like a baby. Alpha Brain for the day, keeps me moving, keeps me focused, all the good things. Get over to onnit.com/shrugged. You're going to save 10% on all products that you buy, and you're going to get a 14-pill bottle of Alpha Brain, and you need to do it. You need to sleep better. You need to be more focused during the day. That combination right there is for champions. I'm stoked for you to listen to Alex Macklin right now. Huge piece of the Barbell Shrug story. First time I got to meet him, we threw the mics on, made it happen. Can't wait to see you guys in the middle of the break. Talk soon. Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Anders Varner. We broke out of the Hilton at the Fitness Business Summit 2018. We're on the roof. Close enough. There's a higher roof, but we're on a roof. Hanging out with Doug Larson, Travis Mash. Today we're talking nutrition for weightlifters with someone that needs no introduction to the Barbell Shrugged fam.
Yo,
Alex
back.
Macklin.
Welcome
back to the show, dude.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm stoked we get to hang out.
I know,
dude.
We never met before, though, till today. But yeah, it's cool, man.
You had to come all the way to San Diego. I should have at least come to Memphis and hung out.
Yeah, see where it started.
Yeah. Right on, dude. Well, let's talk about some nutrition stuff. I've seen you on the Instagrams. You've done all the weightlifting things. But Where did this journey from being, are you still just a weightlifter, or just a, but are you still a weightlifting coach, and how do we kind of transition into a little bit more of the nutrition side of this?
I've been competing in weightlifting for a while, since I got started with Mike and Doug back in Memphis, and actually Mike Bledsoe is my first coach, but you know, went through, started learning how to lift, and then got better, and then realized, okay, I can go to some bigger meets. So, you know, I started doing that, and then teamed up with Travis, and then that's where I went to the American Open in 2015.
He makes everyone stronger.
I know.
Unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
If you can survive it.
That's why I'm always standing next to him.
Yeah. So, like, while I was working with Travis, though, I started to pay attention more to the finer details of my nutrition. I started working with – I worked with Adi, working against gravity. So I was doing, like, the macros and things like that. And I started to realize, like, okay, like, this is where there's a gap here, like, where I'm losing out by not paying attention to my nutrition. Because before, you know, it would just be like, all right, let me just eat whatever. Like, you know, I lost a bunch of weight doing cross, getting into the fitness, and then, you know, it was just more paleo, but then.
You lost good weight.
Yeah, I lost really good
weight. Got leaned up.
Yeah, but then it was also difficult to really balance that out between, all right, I need to be really freaking strong and do Travis's programming, which he gets you strong, but you're going to work for it. So, like, if I didn't have proper nutrition, I wouldn't be able to do as best as I could.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I really started to get, like, more into it. But, however, like, even after doing, you know, the American Open and really dialing in my nutrition, I realized that there's still more left on the table. Like, there were still things I could be doing to improve it. Like, not even just looking at, like, from a purely just from a weight loss perspective, because that's a lot what weightlifters look at things. Weightlifters look at a lot of stuff about, okay, I need to cut weight, I need to make weight for this competition, but they're not thinking about, like, okay, well, how is this affecting my performance? How is this affecting my ability to recover? And how is this affecting my health? Because if you don't have those things, then you still are not going to be a good weightlifter. Because,
not for long.
Yeah, because you just won't be able to maintain and sustain the beating that you're going to get in training.
I see a lot of weightlifters make huge mistakes with, you know, making weight. They'll cut. And normally it doesn't really affect the snatch so much, but clean and jerks. Mm-hmm. I've, you know, so many people who have never gotten lightheaded before, you know, when they cut lots of weight, the clean jerks, they'll start to get dizzy, you know, passing out. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, their body's not fueled, and so they're nervous, cortisol's up, and now they're beat down and not prepared.
Mm-hmm. Anytime someone's standing there just a little bit extra long getting ready to jerk, I'm just like, are they going to fall over backwards right now? They're going to collapse.
You know,
they're
in my life.
I'm going to admit, it's like I have a thing with people passing out. It absolutely makes me laugh every time. And, like, it's even – I know it's dangerous.
Sure.
It'll be my own athlete, and I'm concerned and laughing at the same time.
So one of the things I think, especially in weightlifting, where it's like eat big to be big. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get strong, you got to eat everything in front of you. And then all of a sudden the meet comes around and someone has zero idea how to cut weight to make whatever weight class it is. How do people fall into this trap? I mean, it's not – there are – pieces to the puzzle where you do have to eat a lot in order to recover from the training.
Right.
But how do you do that in, say, the healthiest way or in the most effective way so that when the meat comes around, you have some sort of control over what's going on?
So that's a really great question. And when you ask that, that's when you really need to get into the periodization part of nutrition. A lot of people will think, like, okay, like, I can just cut year-round or I can just gain year-round. Like, they're not thinking about the long-term play here. You're not thinking about on a yearly scale, what are you trying to do? There are some periods of time where you do need to eat at a surplus. You do need to add some mass to your body. And perhaps that time coincides with a very, very high volume phase, especially in weightlifting. But there are some times where you need to cut weight. And you don't want to do that when you're trying to peak for meat. Because the thing is that, yes, if you do nutrition properly, if you have good nutrition, like, you should be able to maintain your strength while cutting. Sometimes some will go. That can happen. However, thing is like, if you want to perform your absolute best on the platform, you have to eat for performance.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing that, then you're leaving kilos on the table. And so people need to start thinking about the big picture and the longer time frames rather than just thinking, okay, what do I got to do for the next, like, couple of weeks? No, when you
– Yeah, too late.
Yeah, too late. Yeah. When you think about, like, your competitions, like, all right, what competitions – and this is especially true for high-level lifters because high-level lifters have several – now the way that it works now, you got to go to several meets if you want to make a team. Yep. Like, you got to be thinking about, okay, what meets do I have to – it's like I've got to be on my shit, like this meet. And you definitely want to make sure that you are eating properly for performance then. And so you're not going to try to sit there and be like trying to cut like 10 kilos at that point, because no. you're asking to do terrible.
And a fallacy that needs to be addressed is this, is that, you know, when someone tells an athlete you need to gain weight because maybe you're 5'11 and you're a 94 kilo lifter, which puts you at a disadvantage. 105 is probably better, but just getting to 105 any old way is not good, because fat does not lift weights.
Right.
You look at the best athletes, you know, internationally, even in America, they're going to be lean. Like when they're competing, like look at Harrison, that dude's ripped. Mm-hmm. You know, look at Nathan, he's very lean. Like he gets kind of heavy, but then when he cuts down for 94s, he's very lean.
You just mentioned that a guy that is 5'11 would want to be a 105 lifter rather than 94.
Right.
Like is that something that is in your mind a bigger factor? It's like how tall you are should determine your weight class.
It really should. I mean, at the end of the day, when you're 5'11, you know, going against Nathan who's 5'7, Nathan can obviously put on more muscle mass on a 5'7 frame more than you can, 5'11. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have to go against Nathan who squats 700 pounds. Mm-hmm. And you're 5'11, weighing 207, you're not going to squat 7,
Have you put out any charts that would show kind of what the ideal weight class might be for a particular height?
Takano has done that. In his book. He take it off old data from, I think, the Russians or whatever. Right. But he has some data. Like, if you are within certain, like, height, this is what you should be. But that's also looking at, like, the elite of the elite.
Right.
Like, you're going to see big spectrums between an elite and a normal person. So, I mean, really, I can't remember who said this, but I think like maybe Shankle or North, like you gotta be thinking about the total. If you're adding weight to your body just to add weight and you're not adding it to your total, what are you doing? You're losing at that point. So like when you say like, yeah, you're adding all this weight, like a weightlifter thinks about, I need to get bigger. Well, is that actually adding to your total? Because if it's not, then you don't need to get bigger.
Yeah. If you're at a certain weight that's close to whatever your weight class is and you can't seem to put any pounds on your total, in the off season, do you think there's an advantage to putting on like 10, 15 pounds of muscle just to add some weight to your total and even like psychologically break through? Like if I normally snatch 120 and now I put on 10 pounds, like I snatch 125, 130, now you felt it overhead, you know that it's possible. Then when you diet back down, maybe you're that much more likely to still hit 122, 123, that type of thing?
I mean, you could build that strength and build comfort with those weights. But the thing is that when you diet back down, you've got to do it in a way so that where you maintain strength. So like getting to the point where you are paying attention to those finer details, especially a lot of people, I don't really understand. And it took me a while to really figure this out, but like quantity just matters. Like, yeah, you can clean up your diet and sometimes that's going to help you. That will help you lose weight. But the thing is like, if you are not eating enough food to properly recover and to perform, you are not going to maintain those gains that you just made. You just won't.
I think you need to look at body fat percentage, so like when you're 94 kilo lifter and when you make weight, like what is your body fat? Should be, in my opinion, 8% or down. I think that is 8%. You can you're lean, but you're not so low that you don't have energy either. I think there's probably too lean.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that to maintain a super, super low body fat, you're not going to be able to eat as much as you need to eat.
Yeah, my point is like that's when they're competing.
Right.
But, like, if they eat a little bit of surplus in the off season, and you have hypertrophy phases.
Right.
So they can go up, say they can go up to 98 kilos, put on a little – because you're going to gain a little fat when you add muscle. But, like, the key is, like, where is my body fat? Is it still at a point where if I drop down fat that my lean body weight is still going to be 94 – at 8% body fat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's no one magical way to prescribe a nutrition or a diet to somebody. Some people love doing macros. Some people love like the more quality driven diets, so to speak, like the paleo methods and whatnot. Yeah. Like in your mind, what has worked the best for you when working with athletes? Is that more of the personality of the athlete you're dealing with is the most important factor and what they're willing to do? Or do you generally suggest one particular model over another?
Right. So that's a good question. So it's a little bit of both of that, because here's the thing is that ultimately it does it is what the athlete or the person is willing and ready and able to do. Like, that's a big thing that in my coaching that I really emphasize, because if, again, if you're not ready, willing, and able to do these things that we've talked about, then do you actually want to do this at all? Mm. So that has to be discussed, and that, and the athlete has to be on board with that. Now, right. Again, it depends also on what's the athlete. Okay, now, so if they're on board with that, all right, well, where are we? So in one of Travis's lifter's case, we are very close to a meet that she's competing in. And she, it's an absolute necessity. She has to get down and weight. Like, there's no question about that. Otherwise, she's not going to be able to lift. Mm-hmm. So when I'm talking about, okay, this is the situation that we're in, and this is what we need to do to get there. And are you on board with that? And athletes, high level athletes, this is their job. This is what they do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I was just talking to AJ about this, but like sometimes what they're willing to do, they have to give up. They have to be willing to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And that's just what it boils down to.
So if you get two different athletes and you say, all right, you're going to weigh and measure all your food, and they're like, perfect, no problem. Like, I'm meticulous, I'm detailed, like, I'm organized, I can do that easy. I take my scale with me everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. I cook all my own meals. I portion everything out. Like, it's the perfect setup for that person. But if you get another person who's not like that at all, like, right. They are not organized, they don't care about details, like measuring everything and doing the math behind it and counting their macros, it's just like, whoa, way too much work. Like, do you suggest that person just go somewhere else because they're not dedicated, or do you work with them and their personality style to just make it work for them because they're just a different type of person?
Yeah, so ultimately what we're trying to do, we're trying to get the result. So I'm going to work with them and figure out, okay, what can or what are you willing to do? Because mm-hmm. there's not any one way to get results. Like, we can do this any one way. Counting macros, Jason said this yesterday, counting macros is the pinnacle. And like, there are so many things, so many low-hanging fruit, so many things we can do to get somebody to that point, but that's not necessarily what they may need to do all the time to get there. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. It's also my job as a coach to explain the trade-offs and the consequences of not doing that. So if you are very close to your meet and it's like, we've got to get you down, but you're not willing to do what we know will help you get there, then you've also got to be willing to say, well, maybe I don't make weight for that meet, and that's just what something I'm gonna have to accept.
And maybe I don't want it as bad as I'm saying.
Right.
These are, you know, when it's talking about mastering the little mundane things of life, that is what really separates the person who wants to be great versus a person who's okay with good or average. Mm-hmm. And like, hopefully the girls on my team, they better darn well be looking and doing everything he says, because they're the ones that are telling me they want to go to the Olympics, they want to make a world team.
So this is what's cool about your program. Like, you have people that are looking at their training blocks and quads, like the Olympics every 4 years, and you can sit down with a nutrition program and literally lay out the periods in which we need them peaking, the flow of how a 4-year block's going to go. How do you break that down into maybe a 6 months, a year, and with nationals, American Open, and then getting someone to the Olympics? Like, how do we kind of periodize that on a nutrition side?
Yeah, so, all right, so typically you're going to have four phases. You're going to have an in season, okay? So that's when you're trying to peak for a meet.
Right now.
Yeah, so that's going to be – you're eating for performance. You should not be cutting at this point. Like, you should be close to or very, very close to your weight that you're going to walk around at. Right. Weightlifters tend to walk around at a weight slightly heavier, like a few percent, like small percentage heavier than they would weigh in, because again, like, it still allows them to get the food in that they need to get. And, you know, you cut some water weight, you step on the scale, you only have to weigh that weight for 2 seconds and then you're done.
Yeah. Put it right back on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, in season, we're looking at eating for performance. And then after that, you're talking about off season. And this part is where Travis would do more GPP type stuff.
Yes.
And it's all about recovering from being in
the
season.
Yeah.
And
so you go through.
Yeah, we're shifting more towards food quality. We may play around with macros, like change like increase fats or things like that, but just trying to get the body to normal healthy level. It's very health focused at this point.
Is that in a surplus kind of maintenance?
Yeah, we're looking at maintenance at this point.
Okay.
Like, we're just trying to get the body back to a healthy state so that when it is time now to cut or mass, now we can do it in a way where it's going to be healthy. And during this time too, like, a lot of people hate being in a plateau or a maintenance, but this is a very important time where you can work on skills like where you can learn to eat in social situations that are going to happen when right. you are trying to cut weight, yeah. like, or you know, just basic stuff like getting sleep, recovery, like yeah. basic stuff. Like Travis is always talking about mastering the mundane. This is where you can now really practice these things.
Right.
And so then we move into the preseason, which is where you're going to start. That's when you're going to try to start changing your body composition and changing your weight. Yep. So if you want to gain weight, you want to move up a weight class, this is where you would start really trying to shift into a surplus. Or if you're slightly overweight by the end of this off-season phase, that's when you would start now trying to come back down. And really by the time you get to the back to the end season or very close to that end season, you should be reversing. So reversing your calorie deficit or your calorie surplus to get you back to a maintenance and optimizing for performance eating again.
And each weight class kind of has their own, like, where coaches feel comfortable with body weight. So, and men and women are different as well. See if we agree on this, like, you know, like 94 kilogram boy, I'm good with 3 to 4. A 105, I'm good with 4. You know, heavyweights, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So yeah. Heavyweights, are we just always growing?
feed them
Cheetos all day and like see what we can do.
I'm going to tell you right now, since I have Morgan, like my long-term vision for him, you know, he's going to be a heavyweight just because he's a big old boy. But I will not grow, you know, an obese heavyweight because, number one, I care about him and I don't want him to have a heart attack someday and yep. die. You know, and number two, I think when these weightlifters get big and obese, it's not helping because they don't move that well. So you take a guy like Lasha versus the dude from Iran. What's the heavyweight from Iran? It's so good.
Salimi?
Yeah. Yeah. So you take them and just, you know, Salimi is kind of fat, you know, and then Lasha is big and athletic. Lasha is whipping his butt because Lasha moves better.
I think it's an interesting thing in the weightlifting world because it's always just this mass moves mass, but it's
not true.
There's so much athleticism that goes into the lifts, and if you can't get there and you can't get to the positions, and
it's
there's
no good.
I've been in these like mass gain or just eat everything periods in my life, and I just feel so slow, so sluggish, and you just can't get out of your own way. To take that onto the platform is just going to kill your performance.
Yes, and just, you know, you do want, when it's all said and done, that you do want to be healthy. You don't want to you don't want to like go to Olympics and get a gold medal and die 10 years later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A lot of weightlifters, Naim just early death.
Yes,
like,
cuz he didn't care about his health at all, you know, like
he's like smoking backstage in between lifts, wasn't he?
Yeah, drinking.
Just partying and guys
living the life.
You know, and he's not that big, so God, you can imagine like how much he's throwing back, like
he's like 4'11 or something like that. He's not very tall.
And let's think about this too. Look at the weightlifters we all love, like Piero Stima. So my favorites cuz now I know him, but
Liu Xiaojun.
Those are the posters I have them about to hang on our walls cuz they're lean.
Yeah, they're shredded.
Everybody remembers the Iron Mind picture of Piros in a singlet where you can see his abs through his singlet. I mean,
and Lou's back.
Yeah.
Lou's back is jacked. Mm-hmm. It screams athleticism.
Yeah.
And so that's why they're good. They don't have fat. Everything they have is muscle. So then you got an 85 kilo athlete stacked with muscle.
Yeah.
Well, muscle can contract, you know, and it is what fires the body, you know. Try to flex your fat. You can't. Yeah. It doesn't do anything. It just sits there.
Well, in they're like, I wish I could.
So do I.
Everyone's in their car.
Well, in a weight class sport, like, you're at a disadvantage if you have extra mass that you have that's not contributing to your ability to perform.
To your performance.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, I want to say this though, like, people put a lot of put being lean on a pedestal, like it is important to be lean and athletic. However, like, you do have to look at it in terms of like where are you gonna perform best at? Like, if you are trying to get so lean that you're just you can't perform, then it's not helping you.
That's the other end of that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So you have to find that balance where now you can perform.
Right.
So,
I think it's about optimizing relative strength. I mean, absolute strength is important, but without relative strength, it's irrelevant, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, you got to be able to get stronger but still move your body weight better than you did when you were lighter. That's the bottom line.
In the off season, is absolute strength more of a focus than in season?
Off season, I'm looking more at hypertrophy because, you know, a bigger muscle is a stronger muscle. And so, right. And so I'm looking more at that. And then the closer we get, you know, absolute strength. I try to, like, everything is different now. Like, I try to peak absolute strength, like squats and pulls, about 8 weeks out from a competition. And then the last eight, I'm trying to peak snatch, clean and jerk, and maintain, you know, the strength levels.
Mm-hmm. When you're looking at maybe a quad for some of your athletes, yes. And in between there we've got three nationals, maybe four nationals, is there something different that you guys are doing for nationals versus maybe Olympic trials, yeah. And the fact that, you know, maybe we can be a kilogram or two off on the perfect weight, but then when we have to have that right. thing dialed in, are those different approaches?
Yes, totally. Like, you know, earlier, now we're in the thick of things. But like from when 2016.
We say in the thick of things. What's
it's, well, because right now every international meet now counts.
Okay.
They all, now it's crazy.
So Pan Ams matters.
Yes.
Yes, gotcha.
Well, Pan Ams counts because we need to earn as many points as possible for the Pan Am Games, which is next year. So if we don't do well this year, we won't get as many spots for next year. And here's the thing. The new rule is that you have to have at least six international competitions starting right now before the Olympics come. So that's a lot of meets mm-hmm. these guys got to make. So we totally changed everything. Like I would look for a lot of our top dudes not to go to nationals anymore because they don't have to. You know, as long as they keep doing well, like at Pan Ams and at the Worlds, and we don't go. So we're not going to be taking a monstrous team to nationals because like Nathan and Jordan, they're so high now. I'm not trying to go. I don't feel like anyone's in danger of taking their spots.
So you're not even worried, really, when it comes to maybe the American Open, because nationals would be the step up, and then you actually need to be just dialed in when it comes to the trials.
I would say the next, you know, until the Olympics of 2020, like Nathan and Jordan will probably only do Pan Ams, Worlds, and then they'll do some smaller international meets where they won't peak at all. But we will only peak twice a year. So we normally do 20-week blocks where we're really going hard. So that leaves 6 weeks on both sides to do an off-season, mm-hmm. worry about GPP, add some weight, get healthy. So
yeah. I love it. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk about, we mentioned earlier, some of the difference between male and females and their cuts, their mass phases. When we get back.
Cool. Awesome.
Shark family, we're back. Hope you guys are enjoying this big hangout with Alex Macklin. Awesome hearing his voice back on the microphones on Barbell Shrugged. I want to give a special shout out to our sponsors, Organifi. Look, I can't rave about these people enough. I love them. I love their products. The sunrise to sunset is just flying off the shelves. You need to get a part of it right now. The green, the gold, and the red from sunrise to sunset. If you remember last week, we nicknamed it something special. Say it to yourself right now, the Shrugged Stack. Get to Organifi.com/shrugged. Use the coupon code SHRUGGED. You're going to save 20%. That's a ton of money. The sunrise to sunset, everyone loves it. Green, red, gold drink, all the micronutrients and minerals and vitamins and all the things that you need. Get over to Organifi. I have a green drink to wake up every single morning because, man, I just don't eat enough of the vegetables like I need to be. I try, but it's hard. There's so many things that you have to think about. So taking the Organifi green drink just gets me started. I've got the red and the gold for the rest of the day. I know that I'm covering all of my bases. And as I'm recording this, Susan Brennan from Organifi, the creator of the Sunrise to Sunset Shrug Stack. We came up with the Shrug Stack at Drinking Coffee, and it was the best idea we've ever come up with because we love the products and we want you to have them. Saving 20%, get to Organifi.com/shrugged. And then we've got Thrive Market. Thrive Market, I get this sweet box that shows up to my door every single week from these guys, and it's so awesome because you can go to their website. You can go and search by whatever dietary restrictions you have. So if you're paleo, you can go to thrivemarket.com/shrugged. And then inside there, you can go and search for paleo, keto, all the things, your low carb, your high carb. If you want to get your peanut butter that's only got peanut butter in it, you want almonds with one ingredient, almond butter with one ingredient, like almonds, the way that almond butter should be, and it's delicious. Go to thrivemarket.com/shrugged. you are going to get $60 in free organic groceries, free shipping on those organic groceries, and 30-day free trial. I love Thrive Market. They're just massive, massive supporters of the show. I cannot recommend their food. They even have meat products over there now. So get over to thrivemarket.com/shrugged. You're getting $60 in free organic groceries, free shipping on those groceries, a 30-day free trial to Thrive Market. Go to thrivemarket.com/shrugged. Back to the show.
Welcome back to Barbell Shrug. We're here with Alex Macklin.
Yo.
We're going to get into a little bit of understanding the differences in male and female nutrition, gains, cuts. But one thing I want to talk about before we get going, you have a 14-year-old that's a total monster right now.
Right, monster.
And at 14, your goal is to get him into the heavyweight division.
I mean, that will be just...
It will just be what happens. It's not like you're going to overfeed him until he becomes this giant.
Doesn't matter what I do.
If you try to wrap your arm around his wrist, it's probably like halfway. He's just a monster.
He's a true monster.
Yeah. So what does that look like, though? Like, when do you think he's going to get there? Like, what is the long-term approach? I mean, I feel like I started working out when I was 13, and if someone came to me and was like, hey, dude, one day you're going to weigh like 250, and there's a chance you're going to put 600 pounds over your head.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what? This coach is on crack.
He's starting to believe me and buy in. And, you know, he's already on top of his own nutrition. So he came to me, he said, you know, do you think it's time for me to track my nutrition? I'm like, since you came to me, yes, it is. The fact that you're concerned about it. Then yeah, we
so he is aware that this is a thing.
Oh yeah, he's probably the most aware athlete I coach, and he's only 14. He's well aware of his recovery, how much he sleeps. You know,
nice, that's good. It was mama's into that too, so yeah. So it helps, you know. Yes,
but when you're working with younger athletes, is the conversation a little bit different? And just realizing, I mean, they're processing centers, they're crushing food, they have the ability, like they're not 35 years old, worrying about like. You know, things are moving perfectly for them at that time.
He has a huge advantage. So, like, if he were working with Alex, I would need to tell Alex this, is that his big advantage is that he is a heavyweight, you know. So even as a youth, he's already – it's like 94 kilogram plus is the heavyweights. But he has that advantage. So, like, when they're – at the end of this year, it's the Youth Olympics is what everyone's battling for. And so they have certain numbers – you know, the main kid, Jerome, who he's battling with, who's 69 kilos, basically has to stay in that weight class. If he were to go up, like the world numbers are so much higher, he would drop him so far down, we would automatically win. So he's forced to stay 69, whereas we can get as big and heavy as we want, and those numbers don't change. So it doesn't, you know, the whole, like, you know, pound for pound, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it's just a number he's got to beat. So, like, it's an advantage for him to continue to, you know, eat at either at a slight surplus or like, you know, like maintenance, but like definitely not go at a deficit for him.
It would. And if I was coaching someone like a kid like Morgan, I would definitely want to talk with his coach and see like what the long term plan is because again, like ultimately, that's what Travis is thinking about too.
Yes.
One thing I think that you're particularly good at, you know, you're talking about dealing with a 14-year-old kid, and, you know, he probably doesn't know every single detail of all the aspects of nutrition that you might need to know if you want to, you know, optimize your nutrition. You're really good at simplifying things and making it really easy to understand. Like, one of the coolest part about your Instagram account is that you're always posting meals, and they're always, like, super simple. You got this whole hashtag, basic as fuck nutrition. Like, it doesn't have to be complicated. Like, you make super simple meals, all portioned correctly. Like, like, go and expand on that, because I think people overcomplicate nutrition sometimes. And you do a really good job of keeping it very, very
keeping
basic.
Keeping it basic, hashtag basic as fuck. Yeah, no. nah, man, but that's the thing. Like, it doesn't need to be that complicated. A lot of times, again, like, if you look at what somebody's doing, very, very obvious, simple things, small changes can still make big, big results. So doing the basics, like Travis always said, talk mastering mundane. Like, are you eating vegetables at all or most of your meals? Are you eating lean proteins? Are you eating mostly whole and unprocessed foods? Are you quantifying your foods in some way? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if you whip out a food scale and weigh and measure all your food. You can use your hands. You can take pictures. You can write down. Like, it's about doing the basic stuff. And then once you get a handle of it, then you can expand on it and make it more personal and, you know, whatever level that you need to do. You can dial that dial up as much as you need to dial it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of people want to jump in and do the most like crazy, sexy shit, but it's like, are you don't even have the basic shit down yet.
Yes.
And let's start with that first. Mm-hmm. Like, let's look at the one thing. Like, you're just pounding sodas every day. Like, how about you just not pound that soda like a couple times a week? There you go. Mm-hmm. Like, so I try to keep it basic, but also like explaining it to somebody. You have to, a lot of coaches miss the boat on this, is that you have to know your audience. Just like if you're speaking out here at this conference, know your audience. If you got a 14-year-old kid or a mom or somebody who doesn't know a damn clue about what a macronutrient, protein, whatever is, like, don't use that language. Just say like, hey, like, how about you have some food? Like, we want to eat meat. We want to have vegetables. We want to have some rice, like things like that. Like, let's speak in a language that they can understand. Because right. You start sitting there spitting out like, all right, I want you to have 150 grams of this, and we're going to get your, you know, hormone levels up to check, to spar, like all your ghrelin and peptide YY. Like, you're going to overwhelm them, and they're going to be like, I'm done. So you got to keep it as simple as possible for that person, and then educate them along the way, build them up, teach them how to do this on their own, because ultimately that's what we want to do. I don't want to sit there. I tell all my people, I'm like, you shouldn't have to pay a nutrition coach when you're 80 years old. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, you're gonna learn along the way, and we're gonna build you up.
I like that.
Yeah, one of the advantages of doing macros is that you actually learn what's in your food.
Right.
But eventually, you shouldn't have to weigh everything. You should understand eventually what's in your food. That way, you can eyeball it and move on and not spend so much time every day like counting and quantifying and plugging it into spreadsheets. Yeah. And
well, a lot of it boils down to, you know, one, building habits, like eating habits, being mindful of your food. Like, what are you eating? Like, how much of it? How is it making you feel? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it doing to you? Like, being mindful about your food, then you can say, okay, I'm just going to eat like a normal person and not eat like an asshole, but I know how to do that. Like, people say, like, don't eat like an asshole, but like, how do you do that?
My wife tells me that all the time.
Yeah, like, if someone's used to eating like that, though, so you have to teach someone. With my people, I try to teach them how to build a life with sustainability in mind. Like, can you do this for the rest of your life? Because that's, again, you shouldn't have to pay a nutrition coach when you're like 80 something years old.
Totally. A lot of people, they might know what to eat, but they're not very good at cooking. Like, do you do much in the way of educating people on how to cook food, and then how to, like, you know, do cooking bulk meals, and like how to just do something simple like baking chicken in the oven and making rice in a rice cooker, like little things like that? Like, what has worked really well for you as far as teaching someone how to cook that doesn't know what they're doing?
So, with cooking, like, you got to keep just, again, you got to meet them on their level. So we may give them some recipes and things like that, but basic stuff like, all right, get you a crock pot. Like, you can throw meat in the crock pot, throw some seasoning in there, and like, you have a really great meal, right? Like, you know, learning how, a lot of things too. What I like to do with cooking is just keep it simple. Cook a meat, cook a couple of meats, cook some starches, cook a couple of vegetables. You don't need recipes. Just mix and match, learn some seasonings, try different things. Like, people are afraid to try stuff. Like, I mean, you're like, well, I don't know if I like it. If you don't like it, okay, cool. You don't like it. You don't eat it again. But like, try some things and mix and match and play around with stuff. Like, I make taco meat. Like, we make taco meat every meat. It's like half ground beef, half ground turkey. I can make a lot of stuff with that. I can put it in soups. I can put it in stews. I can make like spaghetti and meat sauce.
That's
like
what Drew does.
Yeah, like, you gotta learn how to make what you like got with the staples. Okay,
and there's nothing easier than browning some ground beef in a pan.
Yeah, start with
not
some
much
staples.
More delicious.
Yeah,
it's fast. It's really fast.
Yeah. Figure out what do you like to eat. Okay, and then play around with combinations. If you don't like it, then you learn something.
I love asking people. They're like, that's not enough variety. It's like, okay, well, what do you eat? And it finds out they eat the same three things all the time anyways. It's like, oh, I need more variety. It's like, no, you're saying you need Cheetos at your office.
Exactly.
you're not telling me your dinner does not change.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to eat the same beef, chicken.
Right.
Pork.
Right.
You know,
make a variety with the spices, the way you cook it. Like, if you saute it, steam it, whatever. Like, whatever you want to try to do. Mix that shit up, you know?
So, as a weightlifting coach, I'm sure there's a lot of other weightlifting coaches out there and other weightlifters who want to know, like, meat day nutrition. Like, what would you recommend that an athlete eats, you know, meat? Because I see a lot of people go wrong. Like, they won't eat it all around their meat, and then they get lightheaded at the end. But how would you prescribe that?
So that's super, super individualized for sure. Because, I mean, you can give somebody a prescription, and then they just have disaster pants on the platform, and then it's no bueno. Right. So, like, yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, if you eat something that doesn't agree with you, then then your performance is going to affect. Or, like, yeah, it's going to start messing with you mentally.
Right.
And so then it's going to just boil down to that. So, I mean, general rules of thumb, okay, what do weightlifters typically do before they get to a meet? They restrict.
Right.
All right. And then they cut a whole bunch of water weight so they can dehydrate and step on the scale as light as possible.
Right.
So hydration is going to be the number one thing, like, period.
How do you hydrate?
So, yeah, I mean, we can do this with – I learned this from you, actually, like half cut Gatorade and water, just a little bit of that, like half cut Gatorade, because you got the carbohydrates in the Gatorade plus the electrolytes.
Plus the just water.
Yeah, plus water. Right. And it's not super, super sweet, so it may not irritate the gut because you didn't eat all that much coming up to it. So you pound a bunch of food and sugary stuff. It's not going to sit well with you.
Right.
So hydration is going to be really important.
What about, you know, a lot of people will go get, what's it called? The kids.
Like Pedialyte.
Pedialyte. Yeah. I mean, that can also work too.
Which is better? Is there one better than the other?
I mean, Pedialyte's going to have a lot more like electrolytes and things like that. So, I mean, yeah, either one. It's, again, just like, you're just trying to hydrate at this point. Like, let's not get super, super in the details. You're just trying to get liquids into
your body.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then, yeah, when you're feeling better, like, usually I suggest if someone's coming off of, like, a really hard, like, weight cut, like, all right, when you're going to start feeling better once you start getting some liquids, then you start thinking about food, right? And so, yeah, you want to have some protein. You want to have some carbohydrates.
Right.
Like, combination. I think a combination of fast carbs from the Gatorade or the Pedialyte plus something like slower, like whole grain breads or whatever.
Right.
But like, again, or fruit. But again, that's going to depend on what they like to eat and what sits well with them. Personally, for me, I tended to do like light proteins, like tuna.
Right.
Or chicken.
That's what,
like,
we eat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, very, very light, not super heavy.
Easily digestible.
Cut it low on the fat. Like, maybe have a little bit of fat just to slow down digestion, depending on how long, like, you have to lift. But keep fat pretty low because you don't want it sitting in your stomach.
Maybe a few walnuts or something.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, have some fruit or, you know, some applesauce.
What about rice? Brown rice?
I mean, yeah, you can do that. You can do that. Again, like... Again, it's just going to depend on Yeah.
How many times, and I guess maybe this is way, this stuff just doesn't happen anymore, but how many times are you guys facing like really aggressive cuts? And, you know, like we're talking, you know, like what are some of the largest cuts that you have anymore?
Four
or
kilos.
Have you just gotten rid of that completely by being able to partner with somebody that knows what the hell's going on and the dates that are coming?
A girl definitely doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
That will absolutely – I've seen a lot of girls try that, and it will zap their strength. You know, the biggest one I might, you know, do would be like as a 94. Like Nathan, maybe he gets up to 98, he has to cut to 94. It never bothers him. Plus he has – two, you need to look at, and something that I'm sure a lot of nutritionists are looking at, is that person very efficient or not? So like Jordan Cantrell, every kilo he can squat, he can clean it. Clean and jerk, you know. So like, you know, if you drop, but if you cut him too much,
if killer.
I'm talking about front squat. Every ounce he can front squat, he can clean and jerk. And so like, if you cut his weight too dramatically and it takes away from his absolute strength, you just mess his clean and jerk up. Nathan, I mean, he squats 700. So like, if he loses 5 kilo on his squat, it won't affect him, you know, at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, along with that point. You want to for weightlifting, like, you don't have that much time to eat and rehydrate.
You have
2 hours, and really you may even have less than that, because depending on how long the weigh-in takes, I've weighed in, like, was the last person to weigh in. I had maybe like 30 minutes to get out there. So so you don't have a whole lot of time, like in some powerlifting federations and things like that. So you really, as a weightlifter, you really want to hang out pretty close, comfortable cut down, like not trying to cut like 20 pounds 8 weeks
no,
out.
That won't work.
Like that will not work.
Like I wouldn't allow a lifter if he's you know 10 kilos or 20 pounds over.
Yeah,
that's a wrap.
Yeah, I just feel like those. Yeah. I would say the education was around, but when I was competing in weightlifting, it just like. Was like, okay, I'm a week out. I'll just stop eating now.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, I would weigh in, I would make weight, and then I'd go eat like a whole chicken. Yeah. And it was like, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
And there just wasn't like the science. I mean, the science was there, but the resources and the number of resources to have right, somebody in you, right. like you in the corner that knows every single thing that's going to happen minute by minute if once you put it into your body, it's just, you have know, to have that now.
I think in America, a lot of the you know, weightlifting coaches were trying to, you know, do it like they would do a wrestler.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Yeah. I mean, we are a sport that relies on being strong. You know, wrestling, skill, and, you know, it's endurance and how tough you are. But in weightlifting, it doesn't matter how tough you are. Like, if you just lost, you know, 10 kilos, yeah. you're weaker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not coming back.
I think it was on Facebook, and I saw some older weightlifting coaches. They were talking about – somebody asked something about nutrition. I think it was in, like, at a Facebook group.
Yeah.
And they were like – don't need to measure. Just eat and eat however much you want to eat.
I remember Schenkel, like, someone asked him, like, what should I be doing for my weight? And he was like, no, just keep eating and getting stronger.
Yeah.
Like, is there an end? Like, there has to
There's
be an end.
There's definitely diminishing returns yeah, like, to that.
Now I just feel
philosophy.
Terrible.
Do you set weight goals for people? Like, 8 weeks out, you got to be here. 4 weeks out, you got to be here. That type of thing. And then, ideally, like, plot a graph where they can see like here's like your trend line, you got to be following this trend line, are you above right. it or below it, you know, every day that you're measuring.
Yeah, I mean you want to have that level of detail for sure, because then you know if you're on track or not. But typically I am so with Travis's lifters, I have them log their weight every single day. Mm-hmm. And I've got a plot going, man, like it's there and I'm watching and I'm like, if it's not the right slope, mm-hmm. we gotta figure out what's doing something.
Yeah.
Like because ultimately we're racing the clock here, because with one of Travis's lifters, I want to get her to the point where we're not stepping from straight from a cut to getting on the platform. Like, she came to me, she was like, I got this meet, it's in May, like I've got to make this weight. She already came to me trying to lose this weight, it wasn't budging, so all right, this is what we got to do, let's do it. But I want to get you to this point where we can now get that weight off and then get you back up to a maintenance so that you are fed and feeling good stepping mm-hmm. on the platform. So we're on a very, very tight schedule, and I emphasize with her all the time, like, we got to stick to it, be consistent, and yeah, it's working.
I mean, mm-hmm. You know, guys like Schenkel, and he's a great lifter, and I like him, he's my buddy, but like, things have changed.
Yeah.
The eras have changed. Like, yeah. He was in an era that was not near as competitive. Like,
he was like smoking cigarettes.
That's numbers, a good point, actually.
His numbers nowadays, like, he wouldn't even, his best numbers of all time, he wouldn't even be in the top five.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you know, it's changed. So now you have to, you know, number one, we've all as coaches in America have all gotten together and we all agree that no longer do we want to make teams or we don't, none of us really care about American records. We're trying to compete on an international level. Mm-hmm. So for us to compete against people who are obviously taking drugs, we have to do things differently. So like, you know, when you don't care about your nutrition, you just took in a very important aspect that you could have gotten a leg up on the people who are doing drugs, but you're not doing it. So you just mm-hmm. wasted an opportunity. And that's what we talk about with our lifters. Every choice you make, every decision you make, you know, every time you don't go to bed and you go out, you just took an opportunity and wasted it. Because as natural athletes, which all of us are in America, like, you can't afford those mistakes and judgment.
And you're coaching one of the best up-and-coming girls in the country. And what are some of the things we talked about coming out of the break, but differences in males and females, and how are you changing her kind of nutrition prescription as you would somebody that's 14 that's a male?
Well, with her, she already came to me in a deficit.
Yeah.
So it was kind of this point where it's like, okay, we're already in a calorie deficit, and she was coming to me like complaining of not having a lot of energy and recovery hurting. So we have to resolve that. So that was the main important thing. So, yeah, we're doing things like refeeds to help her recover.
You're the best. You're her best friend then.
Yeah, exactly.
I told her
I was like, hey, how do you feel about like 350 grams of carbs? She's like, twist my arm. Why don't you?
You want me to eat a loaf of bread every day?
Exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
she like packed her bags and went straight to the Olive Garden.
I love this guy.
Yeah. So we're trying to get her performance to improve while we're still in this deficit.
Yeah.
So that is the main priority right now. And yeah, as a female, we are going to be dealing with issues like you had Lori King on the show, and she I don't know if she talked about women's health or hormones or things like that, but that does play into effect. That does not happen for men. So yeah, like we're having to work around like periods and menstrual cycles and things like that, and make sure
changes, huge changes.
Yeah, it's, I mean, every month there's going to be, and all my female clients, I have to be like, okay, you know this is coming.
Yeah.
And a lot of them I actually have track it, so like, you know this is coming, so we're not going to worry about this right now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that will mentally derail an athlete.
Yeah.
But also we have to make sure that we're getting enough fat in their diet.
Yeah.
So if we take too much fat out of her diet, then her hormones could suffer.
What actually happens with the menstrual cycle, food, hormones, all that good stuff, like from your nutritional perspective, like what are they looking at? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean?
So as you prepare for that happening each month, what's going through your head to prepare for it when they come out of it? I'm not a nutrition coach, so I don't know what I would be even looking for.
Yeah, I mean, just basically, I mean, we're gonna see water retention.
Gotcha.
Like, we're gonna see that. We're gonna see the scale go up.
Yeah.
Again, it's not permanent, so that a lot of it just has to do with damage control. Like trying to say, like, look, like this is gonna happen.
Yeah.
This is not permanent. They're gonna get cravings. Like it's gonna be, their sleep's gonna suffer. Like
gotcha.
I'm saying this like to them because
you're more preparing the behavior patterns
exactly
to prepare them. To get into it,
to not derail themselves,
gotcha.
Because what the ultimate thing is that we have to stay consistent to the plan. So, like if you run into these situations and it throws you off, well, then we're not following it right now, and so that's when we run into trouble.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah,
this has been
it.
Awesome. It's great. I actually got to do a show with you. This is so cool. Where can people find you?
My Instagram is Alex Q Macklin, and then my website, I just made it.
Look at that.
I know. I'm solo, me, myself, and I, alexmacklin.com.
Just original.
I'm really creative, guys. Right. So
make sure you get on the Instagram, though. I really enjoy seeing the posts.
I appreciate
it's super
it.
Cool stuff.
Thank you.
Coach.
Go to MASHELITE.com. Check me out. Go to MASHELITE Performance on Instagram.
Yeah, watch 14-year-olds make you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah.
Douglas E. Larson, what's up?
Right on, man. That was fun.
Yeah,
like old times, doing a show together. That was killer. You can find me on Instagram, Douglas E. Larson.
Make sure you follow our boy Colton on the cam at FitzbyCo. He's got all this sweet gear. Get hooked up. You can find me at Anders Varner. Make sure you get into iTunes, YouTube, subscribe, like, leave a comment, be friendly. And we'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
Another killer episode of Barbell Shrugged. Want to give another special shout out to all of our sponsors, Organifi. Make sure you get over the sunrise to sunset green, red, and gold drinks at Organifi.com/shrugged. You're going to save 20% on all things that you order over there. Organifi.com/shrugged. On it, you are getting a 14-pill bottle of Alpha Brain and 10% off all additional products. Get to onit.com/shrugged. Once again, a 14-pill bottle of Alpha Brain and 10% off all other purchases at onit.com/shrugged. And then Thrive Market, the online grocery store with all of the deliciousness. ThriveMarket.com/shrugged. $60 in free organic groceries, free shipping, and a 30-day free trial to Thrive Market at ThriveMarket.com/shrugged. For $60 in free groceries, free shipping on those groceries, and a 30-day free trial, ThriveMarket.com/shrugged. See you guys next week.